this one for the homemakers. Hey, this one for the homemakers. Hey, dance if you a homemaker. Hey, this one for the homemakers.
Hey y'all, welcome to Patriarchy Country, where we're pulling back the curtain on what life is like when you're a member of the Patriarchal Wives Club. I'm Patriarchy Hannah, and I like to always remind everyone that we're pushing a biblical patriarchy here. So this is a patriarchy country where the men lead, sandwiches are always made, and the women are allowed to have and express opinions. I'm really late putting this out, but it's been really hectic here lately, so forgive me. We're going through a period of change in our home right now, and it's all good, but you know how that is. Things get really crazy really quickly when you've got a rhythm in your home, and then it's necessary to kind of change all of that up pretty much completely. Our house works best when we're on our systems, and so while we're figuring those systems out again, the episodes may not be coming as regularly as I'd like. One of Tony's major guidelines when he gave me the green light for this project was that it had to be something that doesn't interfere at all with the rest of our life, because our energy output is pretty much maxed out other places currently, which is totally fair and accurate. So one of the questions that people have asked for a while, and especially after I posted about the young girl that we helped who was being groomed online by a predator, is how we handle internet usage and devices in our home. So this is just going to be a solo episode of me kind of breaking down our system with that and how we handle it. And we're going to get to all of that and some other basic parenting kind of things that we follow. But first, I want to get to some scripture just to start us off. So this is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by your way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And anytime I'm ever speaking on parenting, I always like to say that this isn't advice, and I'm not telling you that you should do it this way. People are always curious about how our home runs, and I'm just sharing what works for us. The goal that we all share is to raise godly children, and we strive to take an all of Christ for all of life approach to this. But the specifics of what that looks like from home to home can vary greatly. I think a change in any number of factors might change the way that we chose to handle these things. And in fact, we looked at a lot of different options when it became time for us to start considering how we were going to handle these things with our kids. I'll go into some of the options that we decided weren't right for our home, but are still, you know, great options at the end of this. People ask me a lot if I have any parenting book recommendations, and I'm going to be honest, I haven't read a parenting book as an adult. I used to read a lot of Focus on the Family stuff when I was growing up, but as an adult, I haven't spent a ton of time looking into what other people have to say about parenting. I have since heard Doug Wilson and a couple of other people talk about how they view things kind of similarly in terms of, you know, one of our parenting philosophies is that as kids get older, there need to be less and less rules because they should be able to apply the values that we've instilled in them at their own discretion, in like a wise way. But there's probably, well, I know there's a lot of ways that we differ from Doug Wilson in parenting. Like, I've been pretty open with the fact that, like, we're not a spanking home. We're not anti-spanking. We view it as like a last resort kind of thing. But because most of our kids come from, you know, situations of abuse before they got here and stuff like that, it's just not really something that we've ever had to do a lot of. And so when it comes to stuff like that, it's like, I don't know. We just have sort of picked and chosen different things that we, one, heard other people were doing that seemed like it would work, and two, you know, just applying biblical principles in a way that makes sense for our household. So if you're looking for like a parenting book recommendation, I'm just probably going to recommend the book of Proverbs, like mostly, and also like the whole Bible. So there's that. We've always had a child in our marriage. Tony had our oldest in high school and has always had custody of him. And then I adopted him after we got married. So in a lot of ways, I just fell in line with the way he was parenting. And then throughout the years, we've kind of like polished it here and there to get this best system for us. All of our parenting principles are just biblical, but I guess if I had to label our parenting style outside of that, I'd probably call it something like intentional parenting. What I mean by that is that all of our rules and systems with our children are set up in a very specific way to teach specific biblical principles, and we try not to have a lot of kind of random rules that are unnecessary, and we're very open with this about our children. We have a family contract that outlines a lot of where we're coming from with our rules. We revamp that every year and the kid and go over it with the kids, and they sign it, and it basically just outlines what they can expect from us and what we expect from them, and I will be posting that at some point. Our number one parenting secret, if it's really, I mean, it's not really a secret, but if you can call it that, is just that we talk to our kids a lot. We take Deuteronomy 6 really seriously, and so I spend a lot of my day talking to my children. My husband spends a lot of his day talking to the kids, even though he's at work. Our kids work with him, they work with their uncles, and so because of this, you know, we're able to kind of like constantly feed in and talk about, you know, different things. We talk to them about, you know, the damage that porn can do to them. We talk to them about God's standard of behavior. We talk to them about how dangerous the internet can be. We talk to them about device addiction and how using them too much can negatively affect their brains, especially when they're young. My 9-year-old can very easily explain to you about how prolonged device use in kids can be linked to shorter attention spans and some behavioral issues, and that the reason that we're so strict with her exposure at her age is because it's what's healthiest for her, both in that respect and in the sense that there's just a lot that she doesn't need to be exposed to. While we don't in any way feel obligated to explain ourselves to our children, we do find that keeping an open dialogue about where we're coming from with our rules and systems helps quite a bit in helping our children learn how to make good decisions and think things through. And the amount of thinking and the kind of thought process that goes into deciding how we're going to do things. It is really important to us that our children understand that we're not just willy-nilly, they're not just at the mercy of our whims, that everything that we have thought about and really put into place in our home, that it all serves a purpose. This is especially important for us in our home because most of our children were not raised primarily in our home. They were raised in foster care for a while. They were in public school. They were in not great homes before they came to us. And there is a real sense of like a loss of control over their lives. And I know in general we think, you know, well, children don't need to be in control of their lives. True. But there is a certain amount of healthy control that we give our kids as they get older. And some of our kids really missed out on that. And so in trying to teach them, you know, how we make decisions, how all of that, you know, kind of goes into practice, how it is that we're applying these biblical principles to like an everyday life in a, as I said, kind of all of Christ for all of life approach, it just is very helpful for them to understand, like, this is where this rule comes from. So it's in terms of like explaining ourselves, it's not like a daily thing where I have to give this whole, you know, long drawn out speech about why they need to brush their teeth. But I think it's totally understandable for your teenagers to understand why the rules are in place that are in place in terms of, you know, internet access. So just some background that you need. We have 13 kids that range in age from 9 to 25. We have 8 at home and 5 adult children that have moved out and live in their own homes. Our 6 sons that are home are all teenagers, and then our girls are 9 and 11. We live kind of communally in a lot of ways with some family members, some of my brothers, Tony's 2 brothers. And what I mean by that is that we try to keep the rules generally consistent throughout the homes. We school our kids together. We open businesses together. We work together. All these kind of things. And so it's pretty easy overall because we're all following the Bible, the same book, and our homes run basically the same. So our systems work universally for us. All of the other families in our little group have a lot of children as well, or on their way to having a lot of children. Our kids are the only ones that are adopted, but I don't know that that makes a huge difference in the way that we implement things. We kind of divide our kids into 3 different age levels. So there's level 1, which is anyone who's under, I would say, roughly the age of 12. We don't stick harshly to ages because we're more concerned about where their maturity is at. But generally speaking, sometime between the age of 11 and 13 is when most of the kids so far have been ready to move on to the next level. So level 2 is roughly 12 to 16, and then 16 to 18 would be level 3. Level 3 is the only one where there's an event that moves you up, which is getting your driver's license. So once our kids get their driver's licenses, the amount of rules go down to basically 2, summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. By the time that we're trusting our children to be able to drive a car, we should be able to trust them to apply the principles we've instilled in them using their own, the wisdom that they've acquired throughout the years. And we view this as the stage of life for them as basically a dress rehearsal for adulthood, which is right around the corner. We would like to be able to give them as much freedom as possible in their later teen years before they become fully responsible for themselves, so that we can sit back and observe. And if there's areas where they need work, which of course there are because they're not done being raised yet, we can help them, you know, sharpen those areas before they're 18 and responsible for themselves. So once they get their license, there are rules like, you know, there's general house rules about modesty or, you know, not using devices in their bedrooms that don't change. Those are just, you know, house rules that exist. But in terms of their curfew, where they're allowed to go, stuff like that, we become pretty hands-off, even though we're still very closely monitoring everything. We call this helicopter parenting at a distance, which will make more sense later on when I kind of like break down what that means. To start off, all of our level 1 kids, which in our specific home is just our daughters currently, so they just don't have any unsupervised internet access. We have 1 laptop that they're allowed to use. They have to have someone right next to them while they do whatever it is that they're doing. We generally don't let them use phones for anything except occasionally playing Pokemon Go with the family at the rec center that's nearby. But in terms of just handing them our phone to entertain themselves when we're like at a restaurant or in the car or something, that's just not something that we do. They do have tablets that we've downloaded a couple of games on, but the devices are specifically blocked from the router. So if they have to be updated, then we have to go in, we have to change that and do it ourselves. They have a Game Boy Color. They each have a Game Boy Color from the 90s, and they have a computer that was actually mine in the 8th grade that my brother still had, and they use that to type up their schoolwork. They can play games on it because they have discs like Roller Coaster Tycoon and Amazon Trail, which is similar to Oregon Trail, but I didn't have Oregon Trail. I had Amazon Trail. And it has an Ethernet port, but it's not connected to the internet, and there wouldn't be a way to connect it wirelessly. It's old enough that, like, there's no wireless connection even access. So they recently got a Nintendo Switch because we've been spending a lot more time in the car, but they rarely play them at home. It doesn't have a search engine or a web browser, and you can easily delete the YouTube app if you want it to be connected to the internet, but it doesn't have to be. And it also has really good parental controls. You can make sure that they, you know, can't chat if they are connected to the internet and all that kind of stuff by kind of adjusting the age allowances. But games like Roblox, that's just a no. I know a lot of people, they say, well, all their friends are playing it and we want them to be able to, you know, have that. I don't care about any of that. I literally don't at all. Nothing about our children's lives is really much like the lives of a lot of the kids around them. You know, they come from a much bigger family than most kids. They're adopted, unlike most kids. We come from, like, a very, you know, Christian home, you know, unlike a lot of kids. And so it's like, yeah, I'm just... Their life is different, and that's a good thing, in my opinion. So we're just not that concerned with them being able to keep up with the Joneses, as it were, in terms of things that they're allowed to do. So I do consider the Nintendo Switch to be a safe device for kids to have because of the parental controls, because they can use it without the internet, because it doesn't have any kind of, like, web browser built in. And I don't think it has one that they can download either, but you can set the parental controls so that they can't download anything without your permission. So if you are going to go that route, I do think that that is a good one to go. Our girls also have these, like, handheld games. There's, like, Connect Four, there's Battleship, there's Yahtzee. I had them when I was, like, a kid, and you can buy them on eBay. So the tablets, the Nintendo Switch, those things, anything that even can potentially, like, connect to the internet, we keep those in our room, and they have to ask for them specifically to be able to use them. The other ones, you know, they can play with, but I really, you know, recommend that they spend their time doing other things that are more profitable, but everything in moderation. It's okay to just have a little bit of leisure time. It's just not safe for my 9-year-old to have access to the internet. So that's kind of where we're coming from with that. The level one, that's easy. They just don't need too much internet access. They're young. There's plenty that they can entertain themselves with. And we generally stick to a roughly 1 hour per day max rule with devices. But I absolutely do not let them play every day. Maybe once or twice a week, probably not. Our kids, you know, they find lots of other things to do. It's amazing how much extra they can find to do if it's just not an option that they, you know, play on a phone or whatever. Once our kids get to be a bit older, like I said, roughly 11 to 13-ish, we start to loosen the reins just a little bit. Around this time in our home, they normally started working and becoming more responsible for getting their own schoolwork done, working towards the goal of getting their driving permit on their 15th birthday, which, just as an aside, all of our kids do get their permit on their 15th birthday, but that doesn't have any bearing on when they are allowed to get their actual license. We just want to maximize the learning time before they are licensed. And it's kind of like this whole bonding thing that they do with Tony. He finds a car for them to work on with him to eventually be theirs. He's doing the bulk of the early driving instruction. It's kind of like a rite of passage when he tells them that they're a good enough permit driver to be allowed to drive me places. He takes them to driver's ed, which in our state they have to do, stuff like that. So it's like a whole bro thing, and I really love that, and it's something that they always really look forward to a project to work on with their dad, and I just think that's great. So anyway, that's like a whole aside, but since they are working and getting a bit more freedom, they're allowed to have access to a family cell phone. It's not their phone, and they're only allowed to take them to work. The basic rules around phones that apply to everyone are, before they're allowed to have access to a phone and looser internet access, they must complete my class on responsible internet use and internet safety. I call it a class, but it's really just, a couple of videos on internet safety. It's a video about how harmful porn is to your brain. It's some sermons on applying wisdom. And I will be including all of this at some point if you'd like to use it for yourself. But it's just all of the materials that we use to talk to our kids about, using wisdom, responsible internet usage, the dangers that are out there. It's just a lot of open conversations about, hey, there is a lot of stuff out there that can hurt you. So you can use this wisely or you can use it foolishly. And if you choose to use it foolishly, it's going to negatively affect you in many ways. One of those ways is that you're very promptly going to lose your privileges. But also, all of these other ways. And we know that it's going to negatively affect you, because anytime we decide to step outside of, the way that God has told us that we need to behave, we're opening ourselves up for, negative consequences. God has given us His laws and his rules and restrictions for honestly our benefit. We follow them for His glory, but it is for our benefit. So, that's something that we like to talk to them about quite a bit. Social media is an absolute no. That's totally non-negotiable. All the kids are supposed to text from a shared Google voice number. I know a lot of people are like, ew, Google. And I totally get that. But I don't know of another service that allows us to have the same number on multiple devices. And honestly, my kids don't need to be texting anything that they care about Google seeing. So I can just only worry about so much. I don't know another service that would work the same way that this one does. We like the Google voice number option because, one, as I said, it allows us to have the same number installed on multiple phones, because you make it calls and texts through the Google voice app. So you just have to sign into the Google account and it gives you access to the voice account. All of the text messages are tracked in the email that's connected to the phone number. We have it kind of automatically forwarded to a separate email so that we have a record of them. In other words, they can't be deleted. Everyone's texts are technically there for anyone to read. All of their brothers can help themselves to their conversations. So there is some unspoken accountability there. There's not any privacy in our home. Kids' privacy is something that's kind of like earned, but it's not really something that you get in our home as a child, aside from the obvious of when you're changing and things like that. Like, there is some level of privacy for sure. But when it comes to you texting your friends, that's just not a guarantee here. We're pretty open about the fact that we monitor their behavior very closely. And as long as everything is going the way it should be, we're going to probably trust that they're doing what they need to do. They've managed to earn our trust to the level that they have access to the phone. So we shouldn't need to directly monitor everything that they say, but they know that we do randomly glance through the emails. They usually do this about once a week, but because we're able to kind of keep eyes on our kids and their behavior so closely, it's normally pretty easy just to tell, even very minor changes in their attitude or their countenance that may indicate that something's happening that shouldn't. We honestly don't have problems with our phone policy, but it is something in the back of our mind that we realize, could potentially happen. once the kids are driving, we allow them to have their own Google Plus number that they use, so they've earned privacy from everybody except us, essentially. And then another thing about the Google Voice number is that they can access them from the desktop computers that we have in our classroom that are connected to the internet. So they don't have their phones, they don't have to have their phones on them in the house, and they're still able to text their friends. We have a house phone that they can use to make house call, you know, like phone calls from, but honestly, they rarely ask because the kids like don't talk on the phone anymore. Maybe that'll change once our daughters get older, but so far, maybe the boys make like one call a week, if that. The phones do have unlimited internet access, but that's just because of the way our cell phone plan is set up. The only things that they're supposed to be using data for are maps, running Google Voice, Spotify, Pokemon. We closely monitor their internet usage and know about how much data they should be using, which is not much. The average is less than 1 gig a month, and most of that is used on Spotify. They're not allowed to reset the feature on the phones that tracks where the data is being used. Their phones get turned in when they walk through the door. Our kids who have their driver's licenses are allowed to take their phones with them when they leave the house, and the kids who don't are allowed to take flip phones with them when they go anywhere but work. So when the kids initially get access to a phone, we pretty much just present it to them as, this is your work phone. So it's very common in many jobs that you're issued like a work phone. There's rules attached to it. Can you use this responsibly or not? If the answer is no, then we readjust. No biggie. And then also when they're allowed to get their license, they're given a phone of their own. So instead of just getting the random, you know, family issue phone every morning, they do have their own phone. They still have to turn it in. They're not allowed to keep it on them all the time, but that is a gift that they have earned by proving that they are responsible enough to drive a vehicle. So let me see. A lot of the time when I'm talking about this stuff, people always say things like, yeah, okay, they're supposed to text from the Google Voice number. They're not supposed to be using data. And I get it. They 100% would be able to get away with misbehaving for some very small amount of time. If that's the choice that they make, then they know how it works. In our home, you can either handle the responsibility that comes with having privileges or you can't. These are privileges and responsibilities that they are given because we believe that they have shown that they can handle them. If that turns out not to be the case, then we'll simply take that back from them until it seems like they're ready to try again. The only time we've ever had to take away a child's phone and internet privileges, it was over a year before we gave him another shot at it. Our kids understand that at this stage in life, our job isn't to follow them around and force them to comply. At this point, they should have accepted that the standard is good and be able to handle actively choosing to follow it. So that's basically the general breakdown of how we handle the smartphone thing. It's not advice, again, I'm just explaining how we do things, and if you think you can utilize some of it, please help yourself. If you think that the whole thing is totally insane, I get it, no hard feelings, do what you think is best to protect your kids. More broadly speaking, in terms of our general device policy, our kids don't have any access to Wi-Fi except at the desktop computers in our classroom and tablets that we let them check out. The computers have a camera on them, and the tablets are only allowed to be used in shared common areas, and that's only for kids, generally speaking, who are driving solo. Everyone else, you know, uses the desktops exclusively at the house. That way we're able to, you know, really make sure that people are fully being responsible with their usage. They're not allowed to connect their video game systems to the internet. They have to play hard disk games or games that are downloaded onto the device that can be used without internet access. Again, we block the devices on the router, which is in our room, and if they want to download something, we have to go and change all of that so that they can have temporary access. This is one that a lot of times gets gamers like all up in arms, and again, we get it. But we don't care. I'm just not concerned about them being able to, like, use all the features that are available if they connect to the internet. It's one of the lowest things on our priority list. And, yeah, it's just not that important to us at all. I don't see any reason that the systems need to be connected to the internet. We don't put a time restraint on the older kids' playing time, but we do encourage them to do literally anything else most of the time, and we'll step in if it gets to be too much. We don't usually have to do that, and about once a month they'll have like an all-night video game session with friends or cousins who are over, and I don't have an issue with that. You know, everything in moderation and all of that, I think that's, you know, it's an excellent way to spend some of your free time, but we just have other stuff to do most of the time. They all work, and so I think it's perfectly fair for them to generally decide how they spend their own downtime, assuming their schoolwork and chores and family responsibilities are all being handled properly. So all of their friends also turn in their phones when they're over here as well. We don't allow any unfettered internet access in our home, and that includes guests under the age of 18. I put the phones in a cabinet, and they're allowed to check them, and all of their parents have all of our numbers, but there's no reason that they need a phone in our house. This is non-negotiable, and although it's rarely an issue, if a child is unwilling to follow our rules regarding phones, then we just take them home. We do use the content blocker through our router, and it's set to the second strictest settings. At times, I change this if they're working on a specific project and I'm having to put in the override password a million times, but honestly, it's generally not too much of an issue. Most of the websites that I've needed to approve already from, you know, for their schoolwork or, you know, a project or something like that, they've already been added to the whitelist, so by now it's just like not that big of a deal most of the time. So that pretty much covers the basics of the general stuff. We have family accounts for everything like Netflix, Spotify, any of the streaming services that we use. We have what's called a whitelist policy, which pretty much extends to everything, but that's another discussion. What that basically means in terms of streaming is that if it's not explicitly approved, you need to get express permission to watch it or listen to it. So we do a lot of podcasts, and there's certain ones like Bible Bashed, Voice of Reason, A Word Fitly Spoken, or Sheologians, anything coming from the Voice of Ogden, anything on the Canon Press app, or from Apologia, etc. Those are always approved, and they can listen to any of it at, you know, any time that they want to. I'll include a list of what those are if you guys want. There's also some political ones that are approved, like John Doyle, or probably one of the more controversial ones that we actually did approve until recently was Steven Crowder. I know a lot of parents, they can't stand him. It's totally fine. We felt like it was okay, although we have kind of backed off on that with some of the stuff that's happened recently. So YouTube is always a tricky one, and I will tell you what I did. So first of all, we don't have any smart TVs in our house. We have Amazon Fire Sticks, which essentially turn a TV into a smart TV, but you can just disconnect it and then the TV doesn't connect to the internet anymore. So in general, the kids have to, we have one TV that's in the game room that has like an Amazon Fire Stick, the TV that's in our living room, the TV that's in the classroom. They would need to either get a Fire Stick from me or use a DVD player and watch like something that we have hard copy already. And when it comes to YouTube, that would be the only access that they have to YouTube, would be, you know, through the Fire Stick on the television. They use my account for that, and I'm not claiming that this is foolproof, but I can tell you that it did work for me. So what I did with the YouTube account that they have access to in an attempt to kind of curate their feed is that I basically played videos from approved channels for about 8 hours per day for a couple of weeks. It doesn't work if you let it autoplay to something random, but if you set up a playlist and it autoplays through the playlist, that works fine. But you are talking about a bit of a, you know, a commitment here to kind of really watch it. It's been about a year, and there's never been a suggested video that was outside of the scope of what we want them to see. So, again, I can't guarantee it, but it did seem to kind of trip the algorithm somehow, and it hasn't been an issue. But, again, we have our whitelist policy. So even if a channel was recommended, if it's not something that they've been told explicitly, you may watch this anytime, which they know what that is, then they are expected to act. How do we determine that our kids are ready for more responsibility? We honestly just pay attention to their behavior and act accordingly. If they're around 12 years old, they're showing appropriate fruits of the spirit, they've been going to work with one of their uncles or their dad a couple days a week, they're not fighting me on doing their schoolwork, they're keeping up with it in a good pace, I'm not having to remind them about their chores, they're showing a good attitude, are happily obedient, they're not having a bunch of behavioral issues, then all of those things are things that go into us considering, you know, whether or not it's time to open up some more responsibility for them. We try to make this happen as soon as possible once they kind of start showing that they might be ready. But when it happens exactly just depends on the child. The same thing happens when we're deciding whether or not they're ready to get their license and all of the freedom that comes along with that in our house. Are they showing good leadership with their younger brothers and sisters? Are they taking setting a good example seriously? Are they making responsible decisions and at work, with their schoolwork, with their friends? We are at an advantage in a lot of ways because our kids are pretty much always surrounded by adults that we consider to be in our inner circle. They all have jobs at family businesses with their uncles or their dad, and so it's very easy for us to keep a very critical eye on how they're doing. And just for the record, when I say keep a critical eye, I don't mean that we are hypercritical of them. I simply mean that we pay very close attention to how they're acting and how they're doing. We strive to always catch them doing right, but also communicate a lot about things that we observe. For instance, if one of our sons were to mouth off to his uncle while receiving instruction at work, that's something that gets handled on the job, of course, but it's also something that he's going to let Tony and I know about, and something that we're going to be keeping an eye out to make sure that it's not a pattern. Probably Tony would bring it up to him at some point when they're, you know, maybe working in the shop together or working out. You know, he'd be like, hey, what's up with, you know, this happening, and just kind of see where his head's at and how much correction is really, like, necessary there. This combined with how we kind of monitor everything that they're doing and all of their texts and such is kind of what I mean by helicoptering from a distance. So, like I said, we really try to give them the freedom to act within the bounds of what we've taught them, but also very much keep a very close eye on how it is that they're doing with that to make sure that they're not going off the rails. You know, with us deciding to choose to give them this kind of freedom, kind of incrementally, we are taking on the responsibility to make sure that they can actually handle it. And we need to be able to cut off any kind of, you know, bad behavior before it actually really becomes bad behavior. And so it does take a lot of work and a lot of observing, you know, but like I said already, we think that, you know, this kind of really works well for us, are kind of helicoptering from a distance. There may be a better term for it, I don't know, but that's just kind of always been our, like, joking description of it. And I think that's basically it. We just kind of try to give them maturity level appropriate freedom to use the tools properly, and it's worked pretty well so far. We've tweaked things here and there throughout the years, but we are happy with the results of this method. None of our 5 children, praise God, are on social media. I consider this to be a real parenting win, honestly. And none of them are as attached to their phones in ways that I would consider to be unhealthy. And in fact, I would say they are less attached than I am. Our married sons have managed to lead their wives into healthy use as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's really worked well for us. Maybe some of it'll help, you know, work well for you. Maybe not. Who knows? I'm sure I've left some stuff out, and I do have an episode coming up with my friend Ash, where she's going to talk about how she manages device usage in her home and also about data collection with video games and stuff. And, okay, truthfully, y'all, like when she and I had this conversation initially, I was pretty blown away by some of the stuff she was telling me. So I think it's going to be a really good, you know, conversation for some good information that y'all might not have heard before and that might factor into your decisions in this area. Hopefully all of that made sense and wasn't like too scattered. I do also have an episode with Potluck Lauren about parenting in general, where we're going to kind of dive into our parenting styles. And I also have one lined up with Ducky Louise about gentle parenting. So we're going to dive into a lot of this like quite a bit more. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So before I sign off, I will just remind everyone listening that all of the thoughts and opinions I've expressed here belong ultimately to my husband, and that as with everything in Patriarchy Country, this episode has been husband approved. So you can direct any and all of your complaints or misgivings to the man himself. He is at What's Good It's Tea on Twitter, and he joined specifically for this reason. So feel free to let him know how much you disapprove, and he will promptly remind you that he runs his house as he sees fit. Thanks so much, y'all, and until next time. Hey, this one for the homemakers. Hey, this one for the homemakers. Hey, dancing through a homemaker. Hey, this one for the homemakers. 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 This one for the homemakers.